Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Jingles, what happened to you?
I got run over by a piano.
Oh.
Those things are usually stationary.
On your own accord?
Yeah.
Someone
driving a piano down the road?
Give me the keys.
So I was in a marching band.
Here it comes.
I was in marching band in high school, and I was in the front ensemble. And so I played the synth, and it was in this huge, giant case. And there was always a person, like a father or a brother of a band member, helping me push it because it was really heavy.
Right.
And I was in front of it that day pulling it, and I said, okay, stop, because something in front of me stopped, and he didn't hear me and kept pushing. So it pushed me over and then ran over my ankle, and then I broke it.
Right. So, you know, he's probably like smaller keyboards.
Bong.
Right.
It was
blah, 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 bong.
Right. It was her final symphony, Chaz.
And but now that piano chases her around all the time.
Yeah, I think it was a hill.
She'll be walking down the hall all of a sudden.
Right.
There it is! Run!
It haunts
Run!
Her.
She goes down the stairs. Right. Dung, 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 dung. The piano's behind.
Then it goes. Dun, 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 dun.
Sounds like a very high-speed chase.
Right, then it goes to ragtime.
You get hurt a lot, don't you?
I do. I should live in a bubble. Like, really.
Yeah, weren't you on crutches here recently?
Yes.
Yes. That was my third time on crutches.
Third time.
Third.
In like 2 weeks.
And you're taken out by a piano.
Right.
Yes.
You just stay indoors. Just stay inside.
This is the crowd.
Yeah.
Jingle! Yay! Taken out by a piano.
Best performance ever. I really like when she did that piano solo part. I'm in the piano, ran around. It was really fun.
Gary McNamara, former police chief in Fairfield and now executive director of public safety and governmental affairs at Sacred Heart University in studio. Do you miss being on the police force?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like what I'm doing. I really do.
Right.
But, you know, you always have that party after 30 years that kind of, you know, you always had impact and you always could help shape, you know, shape messages and shape, you know, shape perception.
Just being involved.
Yeah.
Being
yeah,
shaped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you still have a police radio?
I can get it online, and I still have a police radio to listen to. I do not listen to it. No. I don't watch police shows much. Right. I don't listen in like that. I don't.
The wife could be handcuffs, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I would sit home listening to the police radio.
No, I don't. You know, I don't. I miss that. I mean, I don't regret, and I don't look back. But you know, you kind of always have that side of you that kind of is like, you still want to be part of it. But
right.
But there's good people down there in Fairfield.
Oh
and
no,
other places.
They're great. Yeah. You left the place in good condition.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always, and I still talk to a bunch of them down there, so it's good.
Never going to mess it up!
Yeah. Let's talk about bank robberies. We had this guy on who was talking about a bank robbery, and I got intrigued in it. The bank robberies.
I heard that,
Did you have any in Fairfield when you were on?
Yeah, we've had a couple of them. I mean, even going back, we've had our share of them. Even recently, I've heard that they've had a couple. But, you know, it ebbs and flows, you know. Banks are a hard target, but they're an easy target. So it kinda...
They're an easy target because the perps know there's not going to be a gunfight. Yeah. There's not going to be a struggle.
Right.
Right? It's not going to be like a 7-Eleven where they take a bat out from under the counter and start fighting you.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
lock the door on you. They're instructed to cooperate and leave the door open and let them go.
Right.
I think you could walk in and sneeze and they'll give you money and walk out.
And a pen and a dum-dum pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Take a pen and take a lollipop on your way out.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that makes it an easy target. I mean, it's a hard target. You're going to get caught, most likely.
You're going to get caught, right? But, there's cameras. There's
There's dye packs that sometimes can trigger a sense of, you know, activity around that.
That's the thing. See, I would go in, I would hand the note over, and I would say, I just want the money, not the dye packs.
Well, I keep that part.
Oh,
I'm good at that one. I got one
I'd like
home.
An order of money, hold the dye packs.
Exactly, right.
I'm not so big on the dye packs.
Yeah, I want the no dye pack meal.
Yeah, this is a new t-shirt, and, you know.
So you guys are going to be original. Like, no one ever goes in and says, I don't want the dye pack.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe we won't be original.
I want the money, but don't tell anybody or don't call the police.
Because last time, boys, my face red.
I'm going to go in and ask for only dye packs.
That's right.
Yes. Give me all the dye packs.
Hey, you know what, Phil? I'm coming in right after you.
This is a stick of give me all your dye packs.
Yeah.
I'm going to a painting party.
This is an F up.
You know what would be the best is the reaction of the person reading that note when they got to the words die pack.
Exactly right.
They'd look up like, okay.
And then what they do is they put one stack of money in there.
And he walks out and says, wait a minute. Comes back in and says, you gave me cash with
wait,
these
you gave
packs.
Me cash. I specifically said in this note, I
look,
just want
look,
the die.
D-Y-E. What do you think that means? That means die, dummy. I mean, like, you die, like, die. The die pack, moron.
Is there instructions on how many die packs you could put in there?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think it's one per criminal, probably, but you know, they might have a.
Why a die pack?
You don't want to run out if you get an extra criminal along the way.
Hold on, how many are in the car?
Right. Yeah.
All right, so I want
one for each guy.
Okay, because I'm sure your driver wants one.
Right. I need one pink one. I need one blue one. I need one green one.
Right. Christmas is coming up.
Right.
Well, yeah, I was thinking you're going on like March 20th. You go, I got this great idea for an April Fool's prank.
Yeah.
Just give me all the die packs.
Right. Yeah, all green around St. Patrick's Day, then green and red around Christmas,
right,
and black
exactly.
and orange around Halloween.
Exactly. Or how about C4 for once? Just boom.
Yeah.
When you see money flying around the neighborhood, you know it went off.
Right. This is where they are. You see the money flying in the sky.
Right.
You know you're in trouble if all the bank employees go to the window when you leave.
Right. They're handing money over to one person.
He's going to open it. He's going to open it.
$20. $20. I got that one.
Yeah, that could
four
be
blocks
trouble.
And boom.
Are banks that are closer to the highways more at risk?
I think they probably are. I mean, they do. You know, at times, bank robbers will look at that. You know, either they drive by, they're looking for one, and they're easy. But I think all of them are pretty accessible. But,
right.
You know, they do look. Some do plan that, hey, I'm going to come in and get out quickly. So,
like, I would never rob a bank in the middle of the post road, not near a highway.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do it. You're stopped at every light,
exactly.
Or you're drawing attention to yourself, blowing the lights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you rob a bank, you don't want to go through a red light. I mean, that would be.
It would be
crazy.
Yeah. Get
right. You got pulled over for a red light.
Yeah.
What's that smoldering paint bag over there?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry about it.
With the
nothing.
Dollar sign on it.
Yeah, and you're nothing. All covered in paint. Yep.
Yeah.
What?
So did you have a bank robbery with the die pack incident?
Well, yeah, we did. And this was early on. We had two cops were sitting car to car at the traffic circle, you know, coffee or whatever.
Are you in the car?
I'm not.
Your guys?
No, this is just the legends of police work.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And, they watch a guy catches their eye or whatever, watches him come from the side of a building, you know, walking or whatever. And they're still talking and they get their attention because it was like I Dream a Genie because all of a sudden the smoke comes out of the bag that he's carrying.
Oh, right.
And,
you're like, hey, is the genie going to appear?
Or a new pope?
Yeah. It's Aladdin.
Right, and the cops look at it.
Aladdin.
And they, you know, that's right. Yeah, and they look at it, and the guy, you know, looks at the bag, obviously calmly puts it down, this bag, and they're looking at it laughing, kind of like, well, what's this guy carrying? You know, his hot lunch or whatever, and puts it down on the thing. He kicks it a little bit, and then he just continues walking away, and... A few seconds later, just when he reaches the corner of the building out of the cop's sight, they get the call that the bank in that parking lot had just been robbed by an individual matching that description.
It's a guy carrying a smoldering bag. You can't mess up.
I love the cops are sitting there chit-chatting.
Right.
It's like, hey, what's that guy with a smoldering bag?
Yeah, right. Maybe
what do
hot,
you think that's about?
It's a hot lunch.
That's right.
It says bank on the bag.
Is that soup in there?
Oh, that's funny. Look at these guys, there's smoke coming out.
Wow.
So sometimes they're not that TV model bank robber where the bells are ringing off and the little mask on the eyes and
right.
he's running.
Right.
This is a calm guy that,
yeah,
you
just
know.
Walking.
Yeah.
Just walking
yeah.
along.
Right.
Did he get the money out of the bank before
no,
the
I
bank?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
That
and then,
gets covered anyway,
and then he
so.
Was caught.
See, what a waste of time.
I don't
was.
Know whether he was caught or not. I don't think he. I know he wasn't caught that day, but he,
right.
may have been caught down the line. Yeah.
It's funny. He walked right by two cops.
They call him Smokey.
He walked slow and ran fast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Roger in Enfield.
Yes. How are you guys?
Hey.
Great show.
Thank you. Your wife worked at a bank?
Yeah. She still does. In her career, 15-year career, she's been robbed 5 times.
Oh, wow. My God.
Five times.
In 15 years.
Yep, 5 times in 15 years. And the last one, this young guy walked in, and he had an accomplice with him. He was watching the door. And he walked up to her, and he handed her the note. And she kind of just looked up and said, are you kidding me? And
penmanship?
and then he says, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'm serious. He says, I want $10,000. And she says, she opens up for George, says, I don't have that. And he took the note and walked away.
Right.
Next window, please.
Now, what happens to that guy? That gets reported, and then they look for him, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the one prior to that one, they ended up chasing the guy, and he ended up in some bar in Suffield, I think it was, and there was a shootout, and they ended up killing him.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, so you never know what you're really dealing with. You might be dealing with someone who just has a note,
right,
who will leave. Like, see, now, if you walk up and you hand a note and it says, give me $10,000, and the bank teller says, I don't have that money.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, well, put in whatever you have. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Can I talk to a manager?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Wait a minute, I got to fill a piece of paperwork first.
Right.
You know what? Not a freaking loan.
If you guys won't help me, I'm going to the bank across the
street. That's right.
I am never coming to this bank.
There's a safe right there, and the doors are. Yeah, I'm never coming to this bank again.
That's it. This branch sucks.
We have one more really awesome, well, not awesome, but interesting bank robbing story. Gary McNamara, Executive Director of Public Safety and Governmental Affairs at Sacred Heart University, former police chief in Fairfield, on the show. But first, I have to ask you some questions about things that have been in the news. The dog burning. Have you seen that story?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
As a police chief, so what happens as soon as something like this goes? You start talking to people, you start looking for video, right?
Yeah, and you start, you know, that was a little puppy. So you look back on you know, records and animal control, and you kind of...
Like who bought a dog like this recently?
Yeah, you check records to find out whether who has ever been at that area. So maybe, you know, like a week earlier or something.
You would have records of the beach. Would have records.
Well,
of that,
maybe,
or?
If like say a cop pulls up and finds a suspicious car, maybe knocks on the door. You know, you kind of go back.
That
and
license
say,
plate number. Oh, so you check all of that?
Yeah, you check records to say in that area have we stopped cars in the past and what might have happened.
So activity.
Yeah, I heard that story and it reminded me when I was a patrol officer in Fairfield, we had a couple of juveniles light a can on fire. And I remember responding to that, and you know, and they were just, you know, just juveniles, but they were kids that thought it would be funny to do that. I mean, the cat was still alive at the time.
Mm. Did the cat die?
Yeah. And the kids
set them on fire.
Arrested,
when that happened, did it get the media exposure that a story like that gets now?
I thought of that. I don't think so. I mean, you know, media's changed with social media and such. So I don't think it did. I don't even know whether there was a news story on it.
Yeah, it's a horrible story. And then now, Friday they announced that they have two suspects. One's cooperating. Yeah. Now we hear from News 8 that it's a boyfriend and a girl. You know, whatever. What takes so long from the point where you get two suspects, one's cooperating? Right, mm-hmm. You announce it Friday, so clearly they had this days prior.
It's in the works,
and then now today is Wednesday. No arrests. What's happening now between the time you announced that and the time the arrests
were
made?
Well, I mean, first of all, the detectives in West Haven are probably busy doing a lot of different cases, and not that this isn't a priority because it is. But once they kind of lock in that, you don't kind of somebody comes forward and you get one piece of information, then you really got to follow up, especially if one is saying. You know, you want to know where the dog came from. You really want to paint that. All the questions that everybody has, they're not answered.
So the one who's cooperating, giving this information, you have to go out and verify all that.
Right.
Follow up. Do you know who did it? Yeah. Okay, great. Case is over. It really just begins at that point.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
The missing mom case. You watching that?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
What's happening now? Like, do you think that... what... do they need to be able to bring? Do you think they have enough to charge now? They're just waiting for a stronger case?
Yeah. You know, for everybody, when there's like silence, radio silence, everybody assumes that just nothing's going on. But there's a lot of information going on. They're probably still processing the crime scene evidence that they got, you know, to kind of paint that picture of what might have happened. But I think that really... in these cases, especially disappearance where you believe there's a homicide, you really need some indication of where she is. They need to find her. And I think that they're still kind of looking towards that. You know?
It seems like if with all the cameras now, especially in a nicer neighborhood, that they would have been able to pinpoint.
Right.
Like here he goes, you know?
Right.
Well, you know,
he's going down the road right here, you know?
It's interesting you say that because part of the issue becomes... digital footprint and our social media footprint and, you know, our electronic footprint is always there. What's really interesting is if it's all of a sudden not there. So what they will be looking at as well will be, well, wait a minute, you've had your phone on forever. Like nobody goes anywhere without their phone now. Nobody shuts it off. Nobody leaves it anywhere.
Right.
So that time period is very telltale too. Like all of a sudden, okay, you could say you're here, you're there, but all of a sudden you're dark. You're digital footprint is
right. You don't take
off.
Any calls. You don't make any calls. You don't send any texts. You don't do any.
You're off the grid. Right.
So there's a lot of.
And it sounds like there's going to be that because we've had, and you know, we read between the lines of what Norm Pattis says when he comes on.
Sure.
And it sounds like there's going to be that.
Right.
They have his phone at his house that whole time period.
Right.
Whether or not there's activity, Norm says, we don't know yet, which probably means we know and there's no activity.
Yeah,
right?
And that is a significant, even though it's almost like it's non-evidence evidence, but it is evidence. I mean, all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, during that time, you're mysteriously, now you have no activity.
Right. It's another marble on the scale.
Yeah,
right?
So
as many marbles as you can get on
that's
the scale to tip it.
Right.
All right, let's talk about this other bank robbery.
Yeah. You know, we had a bank robbery in the town of Fairfield. You know, traditionally it's a bank robbery. Somebody comes in and you know, that gets pretty complicated and difficult. You know, what time are you going to go? Is the bank crowded? So these two individuals felt it was better to call ahead and let them know that, hey, let's have the money ready for us.
Gotcha.
We're gonna come rob you.
I like that. So I do that with pizza, even if I'm doing an eat in, I'll say, I like to order a large for the dining room.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
because you
the box
just get
right
there, you sit down, and there's your pizza.
Yeah, you don't want to wait.
You want to be efficient.
You don't want to be in there. You cut time down.
You want a speed pass here.
Because they can hit the alarm, then the cops are coming while they're loading the bag.
Right,
let's
exactly.
get the bag loaded.
Right, right. Call ahead.
Do that mobile order, you know?
Yeah. I
download
this.
The app.
They also ordered Chinese food that day, too.
So they thought, we're going to get, like, skip the line, skip the whole waiting for the bag to be packed.
Brilliant!
Let's call ahead. So they called the bank.
They did. They called the bank and said, listen, in a little while it's going to be a bloodbath down there if you don't give us $100,000 in large bills.
Oh.
And we're going to be by shortly to pick it up, have it ready in a bag for us.
Gotcha. Oh,
bloodbath. No one wants a bloodbath.
Right. And a toaster,
they did it all right. They missed that one part of calling ahead.
Right, yeah. Right.
And the bank did, you know, I think the bank should have just put a sign up, closed due to the flu or something.
Right, exactly right. Closed due to bloodbath.
Yep. Yeah. Bloodbath warning, in effect.
Yeah.
Closed emergency procedure.
Don't wear white.
Pending bloodbath.
Right.
Yeah. They stayed open, and the bank actually had a bag ready for them while they stayed on the line with us, and the cops showed up. You know, I think everybody kind of thought that it might not really be.
This has to be
reality.
A joke, right?
Yeah. You think, can't be this easy.
We got to follow through, but this has to be a joke. Like, no one's going to call and warn the bank that they're coming.
Right.
And they called and they said, okay, they're here now, and officers are responding, and they respond just as one of the individuals is coming out the door with the money. Or the bag.
Oh, so
I don't
you
know
let the, yeah, you have to let them go in. You have to let them
to make it a robbery.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether you had to or not, but the bank chose to do that. You know,
they made the call on that.
I don't remember what it is.
Because it seems like if they're threatening a bloodbath, you might not want them to go in the bank.
Yeah, exactly.
I would stop them at the door.
Right, exactly, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
All bloodbaths have to occur in the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah. So that's on Tuesdays.
That's right.
That's on Tuesdays, not today. That was last week. You missed it.
You know, everybody probably looked at it was, look, these two people went through that much effort to rob a bank. Let's at least let them give the impression that they've actually robbed
the
bank.
Let's let them go in.
Yeah.
It's a feel-good moment.
Take the bag.
They're a friendly bank.
Let's let them get that far.
Exactly.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Needless to say, they were caught in the parking lot.
Right.
Psych.
Yeah.
Did they have weapons on them?
They didn't have any weapons with them. And one of the driver of the car had just gotten out of prison for robbing another bank 7 years ago. And he was caught that same day, so he doesn't have a really good track record.
No.
You know, most times you rob a bank, you at least get a day or two to enjoy life.
He's not the lucky rabbit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he got out and then arrested that day.
He got, well, I don't know whether he got out that day, but what I'm saying is the last bank robbery he committed, he robbed a bank and was caught that same day.
That same day.
This robbery, he's tried to perfect it, saying, I'm going to call ahead to avoid being caught the
same
day.
Right, let's look at what we did wrong last time.
I messed up again, for Christ's sake!
Took away that whole response time getaway opportunity.
Right. I keep on doing this! Why does it keep happening?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, hey, I'm Ron from Hamden. How you doing?
Good, Ron. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking this. It's out of control, these panhandlers. Listen, I live in Hamden. Every day, I get off the exits to State Street. You go down Route 80. They're everywhere. And every day, from morning, noon, and night, there's three or four different people working the same corner. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, actually, the law's got to do something about this, man. Because they are everywhere. In the Hamden area, North Haven, New Haven.
Milford, Boston Post Road.
Every exit you get off, there's somebody standing there looking for some money.
Yep.
And some of them don't look like they're homeless. They're dressed pretty good.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
And I know
I saw a girl yesterday.
I shouldn't say that out loud or think it, But when I see someone who looks like you didn't wake up out on the street,
yeah.
you clearly woke up somewhere where your laundry's being done and things are being like, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't look homeless.
If I were doing that, I would play the part.
Right, yeah. You know? Turn yourself up a little bit.
Let me put my work clothes on.
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, change. Yeah, you know, go to the car, the trunk of your Lexus. Right.
Is that bad to say? Like, there's just when someone looks like they're okay.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think they get better tips.
They're on the street.
Yes.
Right.
The only time it really bothers me is when, like, I'm stopped at a red light and they come up to my car.
You see, they don't usually come up to the car. They just kind of hang out with a sign.
You know what I mean? Well, that's fine. But, like, now you've come into my personal space. You know what I mean?
And well, if they get in the car, that's your personal space.
Right, exactly, right. Yeah.
I still think next to my car is too close.
Right. They'll walk along the row of cars.
Yes.
And I look straight forward. Yeah. I feel horrible about this.
Yeah.
But what I've decided is I like to give direct to things that are a little bit more verified.
Right.
Right?
Yes. You know,
we've learned from doing this and from giving that sometimes it's not what it appears to be.
Right. There are scammers out there.
There are. And it sucks for the people who are out in the
street.
Like,
yes.
I legitimately need the money.
Exactly. Yes. You blew for everybody else.
Right. Right. And it sucks for them, but that's how things work.
There's a section of the Boston Post Road where every single entrance has somebody with a sign. From the McDonald's,
Like
Milford,
every driveway.
There's a guy who sits down in that little median over there. He sits down over there. If you go a little further in front of the mobile station, there's a guy who stands out there with a prosthetic leg. Has his pant leg rolled up. So you can see it's a prosthetic leg. He's saying, "Holy sign, saying I'm a veteran," and he's not.
He's not a veteran.
He's not. He was already.
Are you sure about that?
He was outed. He was outed by Rob from Milford, who also shared the same camp. He's a crack addict. Now, if you go
a little further, hold on. Wait.
Remember Rob from Milford who passed away, homeless Rob.
Oh yeah, right.
He outed him.
Oh right.
He outed him. Okay.
We don't know if Rob from Milford was a legitimate source
because Rob didn't panhandle.
Right.
Rob did stuff. Rob worked landscaping, and he actually worked, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, they were in that same homeless camp.
That homeless camp in the woods over
which
there.
Which is a horrible way to live.
Exactly right. Now, if you go a little further, there's one also by the entrance of Walmart. There's this one guy, and I've run this guy a couple of times. Sometimes he'll come to our cruise night, and he'll walk around with an empty gas can and say, "Hey, pal, I just broke down the street. Can you give me like $5 for gas?" And you give it to him. No. He's not. The can will always stay empty. He uses it to buy booze and other stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw him yesterday in front of Walmart. He looks like Santa Claus. And there's a woman now who's a little further down the street by Burger King. And if you go down Cherry Street, there's another one. Right. If you go down Cherry Street, there's another one over in front of Bob's
and
store.
And panhandlers.
It's ridiculous.
David in Waterbury.
Yeah, somebody had mentioned that some of these people don't look homeless, and I've been homeless for upwards of a year. I'm not homeless anymore, but I was.
Right.
And they have hospitality centers and places where you could do your laundry.
Wow.
All you need is basically come up with $90 for storage a month, and you could have clean clothes. You know, you could be presentable, go out, look for a job. Doesn't mean you're going to get it, but there's a lot of people that aren't in that situation that try to make it look like they're in that situation for a buck or two.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
There are scammers out there.
And if I'm driving down a street and I see someone on the corner who looks like they're doing okay, like, it's... All right, look, this isn't easy to say, but I'm just going to say it, right? When you see someone asking for money from a stranger, you don't want them to look like they just got up in a bed in a nice house.
Right.
And got clothes out of their dresser.
Right.
Had breakfast.
Right. Shaved.
Shaved.
All that stuff. Bathed. Yep.
Got their iPhone.
Right. Exactly.
Charged.
Which I've seen.
And went down to the corner.
Right.
Like, it's just a visual thing to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So it's the same. And I feel horrible saying this, but it's the same as if you are driving in a parking lot of a shopping center and you see someone pull into the handicap spot or whatever it's called now. And then they have the thing, but they get out.
Yeah.
And it looks like they could run a mile.
Right.
Yep.
You know, so you're fine. Yeah. Like, I don't care if legally you got the pass.
Yeah.
Really? That spot's for the folks who really can't park another five spots down because it'll be a nightmare for them.
Need to open the door wide for a wheelchair, things like right. that. That's the reason right. why spaces are wider. But,
so are you still homeless now?
No, I'm not.
And awesome. How did you get yourself out of it?
At the moment, I'm in like a Section 8 program, and it's prorated. I'm looking for work right now. And then once I find a job, if it's only part-time, they'll take a portion of it until I'm able to find full-time work.
And what do you do? What are you looking for?
Yeah.
Where mostly like warehousing. I don't have, I only graduated high school, so I don't have any like skills or education or anything, but it's just been tough right now because I had a knee injury and I was out of work for about a year and a half. So they see you as a responsibility or a liability, you know, it's a workman's comp issue and they're not supposed to discriminate, but you know, they do.
Right. Ah, that sucks.
It's been tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't do landscaping or anything.
No, I definitely can. I had an ACL reconstruction, and I tore my meniscus and MCL. I ripped up my whole knee, but I'm doing much better now. It's just with the gaps in the resume, it's been very difficult.
But if you're, do you have a workman's comp case pending?
No, it's settled now because it was many, many years ago.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, because I know so many landscaping companies, they just want people to show up.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
The thing is, when I was homeless, though, I stayed at the St. Vincent de Paul in Waterbury, and you get a shower, you get a shave, you can get your clean clothes out of storage, you can get your laundry done at the hospitality center. You don't have to look like a bum, even though you are technically a bum. And some of these people go out there looking worse than their situation is to make more money.
Right.
They're
playing the part.
I got a text from Kevin Hogan. Apparently Amazon's hiring if he's looking for a job.
Oh.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.